Hi. I need these for me because this is kind of a emotional topic, the Lamb of God. And I know for most of us, hearing the term the Lamb of God, it can kind of wash over us and we can be desensitized by it and not tend to realize what the implications are in that. So this morning we're going to delve deeply into the meaning of the Lamb of God. And with this being the Easter season and Communion Sunday, it couldn't be at a better time. When we look at Galatians, we see Paul saying something very interesting here. Of all the things he could say and emphasize, in Galatians 6:14, he said, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." So because he says he doesn't want to boast in anything more, that makes it a big priority. I think for most of us, once we've come to Christ through salvation, we're like, okay, I'm done with the cross. Don't need that anymore. I'm good. Let's get on with the rest of everything God has for me. But it's really important that we understand the significance of the cross and why it had to happen for us to really experience the full depth and meaning of our relationship with Christ. And also in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I was resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Again, he's saying, this is all that mattered. This is the main focus. This is where I wanted to camp out and really saturate and understand the cross. So when we talk about the Lamb of God, we tend to see something like this, something very Easter bunny-like, very springtime, very cutesy, childlike, Eastery. We tend to think of it in the way of cutie. Okay, well, this is what When an Israeli child, a Jewish child, would understand a lamb, this is how it would look. So there would need to be a lamb in proximity to this family where they would know this lamb in a way that would be precious to them and have meaning to for them. It wouldn't be just something you would go and buy. It would be something you would rear as a pet. And so maybe it would be called Lammy. Now, I happen to have my dog kind of looks like a little lamb. So this little lamb would be raised near the home. So it would be cared for especially by the family, and the little children would get to know it and play with it. And by the time it got to be a year old, this was the family pet. And then mom and dad would say, "Okay, guys, we're going camping. We've got to go on a journey, and Lammy's coming. So let's get all of our backpacks on and our tent and your bring your sleeping roll and let's go. Come on, Lammy." And they would go at the end of the year when Lammy was a year old and go to the temple. And so when they arrived there for the first time for a child, this has never happened to them before, they're just, "Oh, this is fun." And then the preacher explains that during the year you've committed offenses, you've sinned, you've done things that you regret, And I want you to think about those things as Pastor Ryan had us do today with the dirty feet. So the kids would think, yeah, I remember when I smacked my brother so hard in the face his nose bled. That was pretty bad. I stole those cookies. Yeah, I remember that. So as a child, you're thinking about these things. And then all of a sudden, they grab Lammy and they tie up Lammy's feet and they plop Lammy up on this altar in the front, and you're, what are they doing to Lammy? And then they say, come, children, I want you to place your hands on Lammy's head. All of you, place your hands. Mom and Dad, do it too. Everybody, place your hands. You're going to transfer all of your guilt and all of your sin and all of your transgressions onto Lammy. They're all going to be transferred right onto and into this lamb. And then they slit Lammy's throat and blood gushes out, and it's horrible. This isn't G-rated anymore. This is terrible. This is horrific. How could anybody put me through this? I'm only a kid. This is horrible. So when you said Lamb of God, you knew exactly what that meant. So Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, which is amazing to me, prophesied this over his cousin. He said, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Isn't that astounding? That he fully understood what the Lamb of God is. He knew that that meant his cousin Jesus was the one who was going to take all of our sin and be the one to redeem us and set us free and forgive us and cleanse us. He prophesied that over his cousin. I've never had a cousin recognize that kind of amazingness in me. How about you? So that had to be God. That's not in the natural. But when we hear those words, Lamb of God, we tend to just go, Well, I want you to get it. I want you to see it in its significance, that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain for all of us, and all of our sin has been transferred onto him, and he absorbed it all, and he took it all for us. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was this is in the Old Testament, prophesying the future, that the Jewish people understood there would need to be this lamb. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Now that's something I've actually seen. Little sheep, I grew up in New Zealand. Did you know that? I'm impersonating an American. When I first came to this church, I had an accent. I talked like that all the time, and I was very New Zealand, which is what my grandchildren sound like now. My three grandsons live in New Zealand, and they have a New Zealand accent. But little sheep like this, I grew up around. I was used to seeing them. Little sheep were even in the public parks. And I remember one day on a summer vacation at a sheep farm, and the farmer went And I followed the farmer around, and the farmer took one of the sheep one day into the barn, and I just followed along. I think I was about 8. Didn't know it was about to happen, but that sheep was going to be dinner. And so I watched the whole process. It was quite a biology lesson. But that sheep went so willingly, like that scripture says, without complaint, with just went willingly. And this is how Jesus went, willingly. Only sheep don't know what's coming. Jesus knew what was coming, and he went willingly. In Revelation, it says, Revelation 7, 9, and 10, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Do you realize this Lamb of God's significant thing is what we're going to be seeing and proclaiming? It's all about the Lamb, the slain Lamb, the Lamb that took and absorbed all of our sin. All of it was transferred onto him. That Jesus is the Lamb of God is super significant, massively significant, that we understand what that means. It's not just a cute little Easter thing. Yes, it's an Easter thing, but it's horrific. Horrific. His purity and his innocence became the filth, the horror of the worst of the worst of the worst of sin. He absorbed it all. He took it all. So that we could be dressed in white, like the scripture declares, standing before the throne without blame. We stand there innocent. Because he took it all for us. So here's a park right by the house where I grew up. See the little sheep in the field? People having picnics. Cars just pulled up. You just go out and there's sheep everywhere. So sheep mean a lot to me. In New Zealand, when I left New Zealand in 1971, the population of New Zealand was 3 million people. There were 40 sheep per person. So you can imagine, sheep are very much a part of my culture. Eating lamb was as inexpensive as eating chicken is here. And the Jewish people understood sheep. You and I, living in America, don't understand sheep. That's not part of our culture. But the audience who this Lamb of God was being presented to understood sheep. And so as a person who understands sheep, I'm trying to convey to you something, a message in the context of this scripture, that Jesus' innocence and purity and beauty and absolute clean Jesus took our sin. I think some of us see the cross as God punishing Jesus. No. He was murdered. He went there willingly, knowing that he was to be the Lamb of God to take and absorb our sin. He gave himself for us. He knew that in order for us to be clean, he had to become filthy. Interesting that we have washing analogies twice today. So when we say washed in his blood, the blood shed that spilled out from Jesus as he is the lamb, that's because he absorbed all of our sin, took it all into himself. There's a story I heard many years ago about the Moravians. Now, they were a Christian missionary group in the 18th century in Germany. And they began a 100-year prayer meeting, like the 24/7 prayer movement kind of idea. And many of them had young people. And a lot of the Youth with a Mission, YWAM, people relate to the Moravians, even although it's the 18th century and this is the 21st century. That's a long time ago. Because they went out in missions. And there's a story about two young men. I believe they were about 17 years old, two German young men. At the time of slavery, there was an island in the Caribbean that had was 100% slaves, and the slave owner, and I'm not sure what industry, could have been cotton, I don't know. But the only way that these particular people on this island in the Caribbean would be reached with the gospel is if these two German young men sold themselves as slaves and went there permanently for the rest of their lives. That was the only way to reach this unreached people group. You might have heard of a Korean young man recently who tried to reach a people group in India on an island nation that was unreachable, and he attempted to go there and was killed. That just happened in the last few months. That was through a ministry I'm very familiar with, started by Floyd McClung. Some of you may have not know that. But it's that same kind of passion. All right, so how do you think the parents of these two German young men would feel? You're doing what? No, honey. No. You don't waste your life like that. Selling yourself into slavery? Come on. So when the ship was sailing away and across the water as it's pulling away, now I remember as a child in New Zealand in the port in Auckland, going there and seeing the missionaries off that would go by ship. I'm that old. Yeah, I remember stuff like that. And you'd have streamers. You would hold one end and the person you were saying goodbye to would hold the other end, and finally it would get so far away that it would break. But you could still talk to each other as the ship was pulling out. Well, as this ship was pulling away with these two young men, the parents are standing on the dock. Of course, the one word they're saying is, "Why?" And this is what they said. "May the lamb that was slain receive the just reward of his sufferings." "May the lamb that was slain receive the just rewards of his sufferings." That's the motivation for missions. That's the motivation for evangelism. We have to understand that. It's for him. It's for him. It's not the worthy people. They're not worthy. They're not. You're never going to find people worthy. It's he who is worthy. He's the one worthy of our work. He's the one worthy of our efforts. He's the one worthy of our lives. That we would give our lives and we'd spend it for others. For His sake. For His sake. The worthy, worthy Lamb that was slain. So that He would have all these ones standing around worshiping Him on the final day where there is no more chance for anybody else to choose salvation. That day's coming. And we need to be motivated to share the gospel, to love people, to show God's heart. He's got us to do that. That's what we're here for. You can read in Luke 23, verses 26 through 29, 49 on your own if you want to jot that down, the crucifixion account, and John 19, 1 through 42. I won't take the time to do that today. But in this season of Easter, it's really important that we do, like Paul said, that we really understand the cross and we reflect on it and what it cost Jesus to be that lamb. We do need to understand He bore our sin. In 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to the sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Many times we apply this scripture to physical healing. But you can see that its primary objective is the cleansing of our sin. That's the primary application of this verse. You can give it other applications, but this is the main message. He bore our sins. He absorbed our sins. The lamb part is that part. He took our sins upon Himself. The accumulated filth of the entire world. He canceled our sin. He took away all the past. All the past. All of it.
Hallelujah.
He took away the present this very week. He took away the future sin. The most hideous of crimes. I often think how horrible it is for God to be omnipresent, to be everywhere at once, and to see everything. He has to see the worst atrocities going on all the time. I'm shielded and protected. There's stuff I won't even look at on television, whether it be reality or dramatization of violence and things that I protect myself from. God has to see it all. And He, the Lamb, died for all of that. Colossians 2:13 through 15. When you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, and that stood opposed to us. He took away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So you have been accused, you have been tried, you have been found guilty. But your sentence has been annulled, reversed, thrown out. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We deserve punishment. We deserve to pay for our wrongdoing. We're not getting it. We're getting mercy. Justice is getting what you deserve. Jesus got the justice. The justice, he paid for it. He paid for it. Amen. He paid for it. Amen. Amen. A crime deserves a punishment. He paid it. He paid it. Justice was served. You got mercy. He got justice. Voluntarily. God didn't punish Jesus. Jesus submitted to the consequence of your sin and my sin for us. Now, when you think about salvation is a gift, he's already paid. It's done. So does that mean everybody in the world is saved? No. What's the connect? Receiving the gift. So I have a gift here. Anybody here is welcome to it. Oops. You can open it up and show them what it is if you like. Okay, so it was necessary for this gift to be received. Anybody could have had it. Anybody. But the difference is you have to come and receive salvation from Jesus. It's not enough that he already gave you salvation. You must come to Jesus to receive it. If someone gives you a gift certificate and it sits in your wallet, what good is that? You have to redeem it. If you win the lottery but you never show up to get the ticket changed into the check, what's the point? If you've been given tickets to Disneyland and you never use them, so salvation is universal. But unless you come to Jesus and receive it from him in exchange for your life, there's a catch. What? I exchange my freedom for, I give him me, and I get all of him. Amen. Woo, you get married. There is a story of a father, I knew him. And his son was a pastor. He still is a pastor. And in his teenage years, his son was incredibly rebellious and became very addicted to drugs and would steal repeatedly from the family. He would come into the house all the time and take anything of value and steal it and exchange it and buy drugs. And he would do say hateful things to his parents and to his sister and speak very meanly to them. The parents continued to show him love and kindness, but this son just broke the parents' hearts, broke their hearts. And then one day, this son died in a motorcycle accident. And the dad's name is Dean. He was just absolutely devastated that it was over and that was it. So he was just flopped across his bed in his bedroom, sobbing and sobbing before God, just his heart so broken. And he heard Father speaking to him and saying, "My heart breaks with yours, Dean. Now you know how I feel." At that point, his daughter, Dean's daughter, walked into the room and knelt down beside the bed of her dad and cupped her dad's face in her hands and said, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm going to spend the rest of my life bringing you joy. I want to heal your heart. That's how I feel towards God. I want to spend the rest of my life bringing him joy and healing his heart, because God's heart breaks every single time a soul goes into eternity without ever reconciling to Jesus. It breaks his heart. It breaks his heart. You can't think God has no emotions, that he's just some force. He's a person. He's a father. He loves so deeply. He hurts immensely. And so I again want to say, my motive for serving Jesus, he's a worthy lamb, and I want to bring joy to his heart. I want to do everything I do for him. And even though I've preached this sermon, believe me, I've preached this sermon about 20 times. Every time it breaks my heart afresh and anew, with a new fresh commitment and understanding of our worthy lamb. And so as we end this service this morning, whatever place you are in the Lord, if you just need to come to him and exchange your salvation and give him your life, receive salvation from Jesus, come to Jesus and receive salvation and give him your life. Give him all your crap. He's taken it already. Or if you need to make a new, fresh commitment to serving Jesus with the right intentions. I think so many of us think we need to serve God for all we can get from him. What can he do for me? It's to my advantage. What can I get from God? Let's reverse it around and give ourselves to Jesus afresh. Live our lives in service for others in a way that will bring joy to God's heart.